that's what we need tonight. We need to hear from God, not from BJ Short, but from Holy Spirit of God. We need the Word of God to speak this evening. It's always a privilege to stand behind this pulpit and preach God's Word. I don't take that lightly. I didn't when God called me as a teenage boy. I was actually quite scared of it. Struggled with it for about a year, knowing that God called me to preach, but thinking God made a mistake and didn't want to tell anyone. But I knew God called me, and after about a year, I finally came forward and let people know that God had called me to preach, and still think it might have been a mistake. But God knows what he's doing. We'll trust him. It's his word, and as long as I don't come out of, if I stay in his word, stay in the book, I think we'll be all right. And God has something for us this evening, and we're praying that, the word of God would speak. You have your Bibles, and I trust you do. We encourage you here at Fellowship to have your Bible so you can follow along, so you can prove all things. Pastor has mentioned, and I think many of you would feel the same way if someone stood behind this pulpit and tried to preach something outside of the Word of God. You'd have an issue with that. You'd have a problem with that. But we don't know if they're preaching outside the Word of God unless we have the Word of God to compare to. So we do encourage you to prove it. Prove what I say, prove what anybody behind this pulpit says by the Word of God. And as long as someone's in the Word of God, if you have issue with that, well, then you have issue with the author, not the person preaching the Word of God. But if you have your Word of God, let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter number 4. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter number 4, I'm going to bring a message this evening. Trying to reveal, and I think this isn't something new, and it shouldn't be something new, but just trying to remind us that we do have an enemy, and our enemy has some tactics, our enemy has some methods that we need to be aware of, and we need to watch out for. And just Jesus in his ministry did something at the very beginning of his ministry to help us. He recorded much of it, not all of it, but he recorded this time of temptation that you'll find here in Luke chapter number 4, where Jesus, we just sang about it in our hymn that we just sang, the second verse said, you know, fasting alone in the wilderness, and that for our sins he was tempted. That was, tell me the story of Jesus. That if you read that second verse, it was talking about it. It was talking about this event that happened here that Jesus did, so we can learn and we can see firsthand some of Satan's tactics. We can see how Satan came to him, and it was recorded in his eternal word, so we can read it today and say, you know, he comes to us the same way. He comes to us with some of the same temptations, and we can defeat him just like Jesus did by some of the same methods. So he gave us a wonderful example laid out here for us on who our enemy is, how he comes at us, and what we can do about it, what we need to expect. We shouldn't be ignorant of his devices, and God's given us his word so we wouldn't be. We wouldn't be ignorant of his devices, and the Bible even talks about lest Satan should get an advantage of us. God doesn't want Satan to get an advantage of us, because his desire is to steal, to kill, to destroy. The Bible warns us in Peter that he's as a roaring lion, walking about seeking what? Whom he may devour. That is our enemy. He's not your friend. Is that news to anybody? Did you think anyone in here came tonight thinking, I think the devil's a nice guy. I think he might be my friend. He might be on the Democratic Party if he was a politician. But he's not your friend. He is not your friend. That's not new news for anyone. The devil is not our friend. He is our enemy. He wants to destroy your life. But the devil does some crafty things, and the Bible warns us about his craftiness. I mentioned several times in my Sunday school classes that have been there that he has lures. You've heard it from other preachers from this pulpit. He has lures that draw you, that are enticing, that look good. But we all know what's behind a lure. Any fishermen in here? Any fishermen, people that use lures? What's behind a lure? A hook. And we shouldn't be ignorant of that. When we see the devil dangling that diamond or that carrot in front of us, we ought to realize he's not my friend. He's not trying to benefit my life. He's not trying to bless me. He wants to destroy me. And so I love the fact that Jesus was willing to put himself in this situation, to put himself through the temptation as he had became a man and endured all temptations just like we are, yet without sin. He put himself through this so we can have the example. And so I would ask you, if you're there in Luke chapter number 4, if you would, let's stand and let's read this passage of Scripture. I want to read the account in Luke, and then we want to turn to Matthew chapter 4, which I'll bring the message from, but I want you to see what Luke says, because I'll probably refer to some of this. They're very similar passages of Scripture, Luke and Matthew, but there are a few things that are mentioned here in Luke that Matthew might word it a little different. Luke chapter number 4, if you begin in verse number 1, follow along with me as I read aloud from the Word of God. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, to whomsoever I will, I give it. And if thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give thee his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for all you do for us, God. And I pray again this evening, God, would you speak? Would you speak through your word? Would you speak through me, God? I pray that we would hear from heaven, Lord, because that is what we need. We need your lead. We need your heart. We need your guidance, God. I pray this evening that you would have liberty. Holy Spirit of God, may we step aside and allow you to work in our midst. Lord, I pray that you would do your will and help us, Lord, to follow your lead. Help us to be obedient to what you have for us this evening. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. You could turn with me to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. This is the same account recorded in Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record this event of the temptation in the wilderness of Christ by Satan. Mark is very abbreviated. It's two verses. It mentioned he was in the wilderness tempted 40 days and 40 nights of the devil, and he was with the wild beast, the Bible mentions in that the angels came and ministered unto him. So it was just very brief, a description of what happened. But Matthew and Luke go into great detail of three temptations that Jesus gives. Now, this wasn't it because you see there, as we saw in Luke, you also see in Matthew, verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. We see in Luke and we've seen in Mark that he was tempted those 40 days, but yet none of those Gospels give us an account of what took place during the 40 days. So he was there being tempted in that wilderness for 40 days in the wilderness. And then we have this account that took place afterward, as we've seen here where it mentions he was afterward and hungered. And in Luke, we read the same thing. It says when those days ended, he was afterward hungered. So those 40 days, Jesus was being tempted of the devil. We don't know. We don't know what he went through. We don't know what he endured. We don't know much about it other than the fact that Mark mentions he was with the wild beast during this time. He was in the wilderness and he was being tempted this whole time. But the Bible chooses to record these three temptations that happened afterward. And we realize from this story, this did not take place in the wilderness. Maybe the first part when he commanded them to turn the stones into bread, but afterwards he was in Jerusalem in the pinnacle of the temple. He was up on a high mountain. This was not during those same days. So it's important us to kind of get what was taking place during this time, that he was tempted of the devil, and the Bible mentions afterward he hungered. And so we're going to look at these three temptations that Jesus chooses to record and to tell us about. And it's interesting, sometimes that God may put you through things just like Jesus did where no one knows about it. We don't know what Jesus went through during that time, but we know who was with him. We know who helped him through this, and the same is going to help you through your temptation. So when you're facing something and you're all alone, God knows about it, and God is there to help you. And so that is one thing we can take from that first 40 days, that Jesus was able to get through it with the help of God. And we don't know about it. And there's sometimes you go through things that you can't share. We hear sometimes when you share an unspoken request, you raise your hand and say, I, in your heart you're saying, I'm not at liberty to say what I'm going through, but I need prayer. I'm dealing with something that no one knows about or very few people know about, and I can't say it, but God knows. So I'm asking you to pray for me. And so we understand that. We understand that there are times when we are dealt things that we go through. We say alone, but you're not alone. You're not alone. But I want to go over these three things that Jesus does record, that Jesus does tell us about. And Lord willing, we might get out of here a little early. You might have something to say to Pastor David if that's the case. And, you know, when you were out, we were getting out of church early. I heard this morning that my daughter said, y'all were early this morning. I didn't even pay attention, Pastor Brandon, what time it was we let out, but she said, y'all came over early because she was working with the children. So might be the same case tonight. Might be getting out a little early, and that wouldn't be a bad thing. Beat the snow in case it does come. But I think if we get what God has for us, it doesn't matter what time it is. If we take the truth and we apply it to our hearts and we take it serious. We do have an enemy. He is out to destroy you. So Jesus records these three temptations, and I think it's interesting there. You see in verse number 3, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. We just seen where it says he was hungered. He afterward hungered, and he told him to turn the stones into bread. Why? Just to do a magic trick? No, because he knew he was hungry and he wanted him to eat. He wanted him to do something that, in my opinion, and some people may have a different opinion, I've preached this before and I've taught this before. We went over in Sunday school as we're going through the life of Christ. In my opinion, I don't believe it would have been his sin for him to eat at this time. I don't, you know, it wouldn't have been sin anyways. He chose to fast, but we see that those days of fasting had ended. You can clearly see that as we read in Luke and you read here in Matthew. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. He done what he was planning to do. He was planning on fasting and getting tempted of the devil, but afterward he was hungered. Now, maybe during those 40 days, and I would probably dare say it was so, that the devil was coming to him with this same temptation that whole time. You can turn these stones into bread and eat. I'd imagine that was probably something like, why are you fasting? Why are you making yourself suffer? Why are you doing without? And so at this point that Jesus chooses to record, I don't believe it would have been wrong for him to eat, to turn the stones into bread. But I'll get to this in a second. But I do see part of this temptation where he focuses on the lust of the flesh. And it's very interesting. And we'll see how he tempts here. And the First John lays it out for us, how Satan comes at us and how the world tries to lure us away. But you see the lust of the flesh here as he says, you know, do what your body wants. Do what your body wants. Turn these stones to bread and so you can eat. But Jesus said to him, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He didn't say, it is written that it will be a sin for me to turn these stones into bread. He just told him there's something better than, there's something more important than just physical food. He mentions, and just again, this was teaching us that the word of God, that the word of God is just as important to us, should be just as important to us as our daily bread. That we can't live by bread alone. And so he showed Satan, you know, you're not going to get me there. You're not going to get me there. I know it wouldn't be wrong, but there's something better. There's something just as important. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash a foot against the stone. Here we see Satan trying to use Jesus' tactics on himself. Jesus said, it is written. Now Satan says unto him, it is written. He says, you're going to use the word of God against me? You think the devil doesn't know the Bible? Now, he's not going to quote it right, and he didn't quote it right here. You'll find this passage of scripture in Psalm 91. He leaves parts of it out and takes it kind of out of context also. He's going to do that. He knows scripture, and so he tells him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. I know the Bible too. And then Jesus said unto him, verse 7, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. Back up to the second one, he says, if you cast yourself down to prove to everyone that you're the Son of God, cast yourself off this temple, show everyone that you're the Son of God, because the angels, God has given the angels charge over thee. And the whole world can see, or the whole city will see. You'll do this in front of everyone, that everyone will see. And this was Satan's temptation that I see as the pride of life. Lift yourself up. Well, this wasn't Jesus' time. Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. But Jesus came to be a servant. He came to be a sacrifice. Now, he's going to sit on the throne of David. He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. That is true. But as he told his mother in John chapter number 2, when she came to him, he says, my time is not yet. My time is not yet. This is not my time. And so Satan's trying to get him to step out of line, to step out of time, to lift himself up. You're the Son of God, right? Yes, he was. But he didn't need to prove that. Whether you believe he's the Son of God or not doesn't change the fact that he is the Son of God. And so he didn't need to prove that. And so he was trying to tempt him with the pride of life. And then he goes and says, he took him up to an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And in Luke's account, and we read it together, where he says, because I've been given charge over it, and whosoever I will, I give it. And we know the Bible does record him as being the prince and the power of the air. He's the prince of this world. And so he was saying, hey, this has been, I've been given power over this world, and whosoever I will, I'll give it. If you worship me, all this will be thine. That's what he tells him. He said unto him, look at verse 9, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. You've seen here where he was giving him, tempting him with the lust of the eyes. Look at all this. Look at all the kingdoms of the world. Look at all the power. Look at all of this. He says, all these things will I give thee. And Lucas says, all will be thine. Thou wilt fall down and worship me. So we see his temptations. Let me read you 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Satan comes at us with the same things, and the Bible warns us here in 1 John to not fall for these things, the things of the world. The Bible says if you love these things, the love of the Father is not in you. And Satan's going to tempt you for the same thing. Satan's going to come to you and says, you know, take care of yourself, that lust of the flesh. Satan's going to say, you know what, envy. We talked, you heard about it this morning. Envy what others have, lust of the eyes. You need to be number one. That's what our old flesh says. And the devil, that's the pride of life. It's a temptation that we all fight and we all face, and Satan's behind it. We've seen the temptation here, what he's given to Jesus Christ, and we see how Jesus Christ defeats it with the Word of God. Thank God for the Word of God. We need the Word of God. It's very important. That's why I mentioned prove all things by the Word of God. It's important to have the Word of God, and that's what Jesus used against Satan. So I say in this temptation when he was fasting, again, I said I don't believe it was a sin, but I believe one thing we can get from this story, one thing we can learn is sometimes we settle for good at the cost of God's best. We've seen here at the very end of this story in verse 11, the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, Jesus knew what was coming. He also knew what Satan was going to bring at him. But he knew that eating old rock bread wasn't going to compare with what the angels were bringing him. And so though it might not have been a sin for him to say, I'm going to eat bread now, whether it be of rocks or whether he pulled it out of his pocket or whatever it may be, if Satan brought him a loaf of bread, I don't believe it would have been a sin for him to eat at this moment, but he knew that he had some heavenly manna coming, some food from the angels that were bringing to him to minister to him. And so he would have, and you know how it is. You ever plan on going out to eat? Anyone ever done that? You plan it. Sometimes you do it spontaneously. You're hungry, so let's go out. But whoever plans, you're going to go to Captain George. You ever been to Captain George? Anyone like Captain George? Now, how foolish would it be about an hour before your time to go that you sit down and make a bologna sandwich and eat some bologna sandwich and a bag of chips? How foolish would that be? But Brian, you still fill up if you ate that too. He's looking at me. He's like, I don't see a problem with that. I'll still put him out of business. But that would be pretty foolish, knowing that you have something better coming, and you'll settle for good. And so I believe this is one thing that Jesus was showing us here, that God has, sometimes we need to wait on God. Sometimes we need to just, when the devil's trying to offer it to you, it's not for your good. It's not for your good. And Jesus got full on eating rocks that he turned into bread. And those angels came with that steaming meal from heaven, whatever it may have been. I don't know what they would have brought him, but whatever that would have been, he would have been full. Said, thank you, fellas, but I'm full. But that wasn't the case. The devil left him because Jesus used the word of God and says, you know what? There's something better than this. And it's coming right around the corner. If I just hold off, something better's coming. So I see, number one, that it wasn't necessarily a sin, but sometimes we do sacrifice God's best for just good or just okay. And be very, very careful, because if it's the devil's offering it to you and you say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not a sin. There's nothing wrong with this. Think about who's offering it. Think about whose hand is it coming from, and say, no, thank you. Well, actually, don't even say thank you. Just say, get out of here. No. You don't need to be polite to Satan. I don't want that. I'm not going to do it. Use the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. I don't need what you have for me. God has something better. And I think that's what that was saying. God has something better than what you can offer me. So I see that. But I also want to point out, as I mentioned, his lure. His lures have a hook. He tells us we're only to worship God. But notice what he says here. Verse 9, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So this was the lure that Satan was offering him. Look at the kingdoms. And Luke, it says he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Look at all of this. Here's the lure. But I want you to notice the hook. Look what it says in verse 8. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain. So, well, that doesn't sound like a hook. I want to give you an illustration of how I see the devil working right here. Exceeding high mountain. I brought a picture, and I'll show it to you in just a moment. I've had the privilege to visit cities in this country. In fact, I've visited the top three largest cities in America. We know New York's number one. Some of you gotten to go there on a mission trip and see New York, and it's incredible when you're traveling and you're getting close to the city. I mean, you could see it from pretty far away. It seems like an hour you're driving before you get there that you see New York City, and you see that skyline and just how beautiful it is, and it causes you to kind of stare out the window. Anyone else ever gotten to see New York City, seeing the skyline? It's pretty incredible, seeing those high buildings and thing. I've gotten to visit L.A. That's where my sister lives out there, and I haven't been out there much, and a little different there because I've flown to L.A., so I didn't really get to see it from a distance, but that's a huge city. But one city that has a place in my heart, and that's what I have a picture of. This is a picture that we have in our living room. I think everyone can see it, right? It says right there what it is. Chicago, Illinois. So and most of you, I think, would understand why this city has a place in my heart. 4 years I lived right outside of Chicago. God called me to go to Bible college in Indiana, the new home of the Bears. He called me to go to a Bible college there, and the city, the church was right there in Hammond, Indiana. And one thing about going to Bible college there, I got to minister in this church. We would go to Chicago every weekend, and we would visit, and we would knock doors and go through the neighborhoods. And there's many, many young children and families that I fell in love with. Fell in love with my wife, who's from Chicago. And so one thing about it, the first time you drive upon the city and you see that skyline, as you could see here coming from a distance, this is actually taken kind of across Lake Michigan, probably from the planetarium that's there. It's not really across from Lake Michigan, but you get this view of the city with the lake there in the foreground. It's beautiful, as I think you can see, and that's why I wanted to bring this picture here, and I don't know if it'll stay up if I leave it right here. Maybe not. If it don't, I'll put it down. There it goes. It's a beautiful city to look at. First time I seen it, it just kind of was awestruck. Wow. I know some of you young people, I guess you're not so young anymore, but some of you were young at the time when we took a trip up there, and we got the went to a youth conference up there a couple times, and so we took a trip and wanted to show you the city of Chicago because the church was in Indiana. It's a little ways away. Show you the city of Chicago, but it's just a beautiful city from a distance. I mean, if you look at that, it's beautiful, especially that at night, the lights. The twilight there as the sun setting, it's beautiful. It's beautiful from a distance. I mentioned that I lived there, right outside of Chicago. I mentioned that we would go and work the bus ministry, and we would walk the streets, and we would knock the doors, and we would meet the families and get to know the families and see some things you don't see from an exceeding high mountain. Notice he says that. He taketh them up into an exceeding high mountain. From a distance, I mean, you see the sparkle. You see the lights. It's beautiful. But up close, you see broken homes. Up close, you see the violence, the hatred. I think most people in this room, maybe children not included, but most people in this room, you've heard this city on the news. Not always good. Why? Violence, killing, hatred, drugs, gangs. I've experienced it. I've seen it. I know firsthand. I know when I would go to my bus routes and we would not walk and walk the streets and knock the doors, and we would see the flowers and stuff that was set out for little children that were killed in drive-by shootings. Some that I didn't meet, but other workers that were there ahead of us knew the name and knew that child, and said, man, it was just a tragedy. Two gangs shooting at each other and totally missing each other, but taking the life of this little child. And the cross and the flowers sit there probably to this day, of families that are grieving over the violence and the hatred and the ugliness that you see up close. That's all part of it. Now the devil, when he told Jesus, look at the kingdoms, look at the sparkle, look at all this stuff, and he does the same thing to you. I have something that's wonderful. And again, look at it. It's beautiful. But he says, all of it I'll give to you. All of it. We don't understand what that entails. You don't understand what that's included. You don't understand what's behind all of this will I give you. Because he doesn't want you to see. He doesn't want you to see that hook. You think it's a sparkle, it's a flash of glitter. That's that hook that's showing through. But from a distance, you can't see it. From that exceeding high mountain, it looks beautiful and it looks enticing and it looks like the devil's trying to make my life better. The devil's trying to get me something that I've always wanted, something I pray for, something that's going to benefit me. He says, just worship me. Worship me and it'll all be thine. And so many people have fallen for that. Why? Because they've seen what the devil's offering from that exceeding high mountain. And they haven't seen the violence. They haven't seen the heartache. They haven't seen the broken homes and the tears that are all part of what he's given you. The broken lives, the weeping, the ruined testimonies, the everything that entails that just people that in the end say, I wish I would have done differently. And you've been warned over and over and over and over and again of people saying, don't fall for the devil's devices. Don't fall for his tricks. But yet he's going to take you up into that exceeding high mountain and show you something beautiful. I'm warning you. I'm warning you. There's more to it than what meets the eye. There's more to it than what meets the eye, because you need to get him to say, let's go down and look up close. Let's inspect this with a magnifying glass. I'm just warning you, don't even deal with him. Don't even consider what he has to offer you. Because when you do, when you look at it with a magnifying glass, when you inspect it, you'll realize there's a hook. There's a saying, sin will cost you more than you want to pay. But from exceeding high mountain, you don't see that cost. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. That fish that goes after that lure, after that worm, he's thinking, I'm just in it for a quick meal. My belly's aching. I'm hungry. I'm just going to eat this worm, and I'm going to go about my business. But when that hook takes place, he is now not in his own power. He is now under the control of the person that is controlling that hook. And that's what Satan does. You won't have the choice to walk away. You won't have the choice to just say, you know what, I changed my mind. Once you're on that hook, oh, I didn't know I had that. No, you've already made your deal. Do not fall for it. An exceeding high mountain. That's the way the devil works. That's the way he's done then. And he says it. You can't see what's in there, but he says, all shall be thine. Now, it sounds good. It sounds good. It sounds great. What? All of it? I can have it all? Yeah. But you need to look closer. You need to look closer. Again, this city has a place in my heart. I've ministered there. I've loved the people. Chicago, it's my wife's hometown where she's from. And so I bought this because it's a beautiful picture. It reminds me of this city. It reminds me of the people that are there. But I know. I know. I've walked the streets. Those of you that went to New York, you got to experience the same thing. You were there and first time you're seeing it, it's just like, wow, look at that. Look at those buildings. But walking the streets of New York, that's a different story. New York, it has a distinct smell, don't it, Brother Robert? You don't smell the smell from looking at it from an exceeding high mountain, but it's there from the sin, from the corruption that just roams those streets. It's awful. How people fall for this, and I'm warning you, especially young people, don't give in to Satan to allow you to give up God's best for just okay. And don't fall into Satan's trap of all shall be thine if you'll just worship me. Just give up on God. What's God offering you? We heard it this morning, being a slave. That's what God's offering you? That's what you want, to be a slave? I'll give you all of it. But when you, I talked about it last Sunday. When you have the master I got, you don't care one bit what people call you, that you're saying you're a slave, you're a servant. Thank the Lord. I want to be a slave. I want to be his servant. Why? Because I have a great master. Satan's going to tell you, you don't want that. But when you find out who God is and how much he loves you and how much, as we heard this morning also, the freedom. When you're a slave for him, you're free. You're free. And when you, it doesn't make sense, but it's true. You serve Christ, he makes you free. And the people that know, you know. It's a wonderful thing. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. But Satan's going to say, you don't want that. You don't want to be a servant. You want what I have to offer you, but don't fall for it. And I see here again where Satan used Scripture. Used Scripture, but he perverted it. He tried to get Jesus to do something that was outside of his time. He wanted to, Jesus was using Scripture as a weapon, and so he was trying to do the same thing, to use it as a weapon, but he misquotes it and tries to tell Jesus, the angels will be charged of you. But if you read Psalm 91, Psalm 91 pretty much is saying when God is your Lord, he's going to protect you. When you're doing the will of God, this is what Psalms 91 is teaching. When you're doing God's will, the angels will protect you. You don't have to worry about dashing your foot against a stone. You don't have to worry about those things as long as you're following God. He'll protect you. And we know that's true, but Satan was trying to misquote Scripture to confuse them. How are you going to misquote Scripture to the Word? You can't do that. He just said, get behind me, Satan. You can't tempt me. You can't tempt me. We should say the same thing. Know the Word of God. Be aware. Don't fall for Satan's devices. Don't fall for his tactics. Be aware Satan's trying to destroy your life by lures. It's the lust of the flesh. Lust is something that you desire. You desire it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, it's things that are enticing to you, that look good to you, that you want. And the pride of life. Satan's saying, all will be thine. But I don't want you to forget his tactic is that exceeding high mountain. He does not show you everything. When he says all will be thine, he's got a lot of small print in that. And we understand that, right? But we're so easily talking about a social media, so easily in smartphones, when you sign up for an app and you download something, so easily just to click yes, I agree to the terms and conditions. You don't read one bit of it. Well, that's Satan gets us the same way. We don't read the terms and conditions. We don't see what it entails. We don't see what it means when he says all. Because we're at that exceeding high mountain. It says, man, it looks good to me. I want it. Looks good to me. Don't be ignorant. Let's all stand. It's a beautiful city. It's beautiful to look at. If you've never gotten the privilege and you get to go, you'll probably be the same way I was first time I seen it. Wow, look at that. It's beautiful. But just get up close. Get up close. Meet some of the people that live there. Talk to some homes that have been broken. See the hatred and the violence and the gangs that it was different coming from Culpeper, Virginia, and walking the streets of Chicago, Illinois. It was different. I had to learn a few things. I had to learn that when people was like, well, why are you out so late? Man, I think it was dangerous. Like, yeah, you don't want to be out that late. Why? It's hatred. Violence. No reason. A lot of ugliness that you don't see unless you get up close. And Satan doesn't want you to see that. He doesn't want you to see the heartaches. He wants you to stay up on that high mountain and say, man, it looks beautiful. Don't fall. God used this example. Jesus went through this time for us. For our sins, we just sang about it with that Fanny Crosby song. Tell me the story that for our sins, he fasted and was tempted. For us, went through this alone for us to show us how Satan works, to show us how we can overcome. He was victorious, and he wants us to be too. He wants us to, when Satan comes at us, that we would use the word of God and use his example and send Satan on his way. And the Bible says he left him for a season. He'll be back. But it works. We follow his example. We don't have to fall. We don't have to be tricked. You can start playing. If God's dealt with your heart and you want to do business, you can come to the altar. I want to ask every head to bowed and every eye closed, as some people are doing business with God, but I want to ask, is maybe someone here this evening, God has spoken to your heart and you're just saying, you know, I need prayer. I'm struggling, whatever it may be. We talked about sometimes you go through things alone and you don't have to tell us all what it is, but you just want to lift your hand and say, I need prayer. Would you remember me when you close in prayer? Anyone like that? If you raise your hand, I see this hand. Is there any others? I see that hand. Any others? I need prayer. Yes, ma'am. I see that hand. I see that hand there in the middle. Any others? Pray for me. I'm struggling. I need prayer. God's dealt with my heart, and I just want to ask for prayer. Maybe someone in here, God's dealt with you, and you know that you're not saved. You know that Satan still has you trapped, thinking that you're okay, but God had dealt with your heart and let you know that you need a Savior. And if God has dealt with your heart this evening, I encourage you to not walk away from that, but if you would, to take a start, make that first step of saying, you know what, I'm going to acknowledge the fact that God is dealing with my heart, that I'm not saved. And just by the lifting of your hand saying, would you pray for me? Take that first step of acknowledgement and saying, I'm acknowledging God is dealing with me and I'm just asking for prayer. Anyone like that?